Well, if some of you have been listening over time, you may remember our next guest, Jeff Combs, who's in. He's in charge of the airport. He makes all the planes fly or something like that. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. I'm glad to be back, as always.
So the airport has entered, most recently, a very, very busy season, in part because we had the unfortunate incident involving a fire, the big fire to kick off the wildfire season in this area, and that's the Sockeye Fire. Forestry was there, not only with the aircraft that they had on the ground, but as anyone went by, they saw for a while a Canadian squadron of planes arrive as well. Want to talk about the impact of that kind of activity on the airport?
Sure. First, you know, an airport, that function of the airport is kind of like, I liken it to a fire station. You don't often need it,
right?
But when you need it, you really need it. And the ability for us to provide a runway long enough for them to operate out of, and the facilities for them to operate out of through forest, for Department of Natural Resources of Forestry, is a huge, I think, a huge strategic plus for their efforts. And not only that, what they bring to the local economy. Now, I know we all would wish there were no forest fires, and the events that happened out at the Sockeye Fire were tragic, but probably were controlled as fast as they were, really, by the strategic placement of these resources. So great help there. Some of the things that it brings directly to the city, of course, is as you have these aircraft bring air crew. They bring, you know, requirements for parts. They bring they purchase fuel. all of these things kind of add up. You know, a dollar here, a dollar there, and then you're talking about some real money eventually for revenue.
Is there any way that you've been able to gauge, say, the impact of having the forestry there as a component of the airport's income stream?
I'm glad you asked that, because right now, as I discussed, I think on the last time and maybe the time before that, we had we're in the latter part of our master planning process, and in that master planning process, there is a economic review component to it that the consultants actually take and review all of our revenues that is going to come out in part of the master plan.
Okay.
As a good breakdown of what we're looking at.
So you're still in process with
it? Still in the process. All of the public meetings that are complete. We had three public meetings, mm-hmm. and so they're all done. They went very well, and now it's just kind of wrapping up the final bits and pieces.
Okay. So that advisory committee, since we've mentioned it, consists of a number of people drawn. How many members are on that committee?
The city staff is me, and I'm there. And then I don't have a voting presence. I just I facilitate.
Right.
And then we have seven members.
Okay.
on the airport commission.
Okay, and that's a pretty big task. This airport, I mean, it's a presence. Sometimes we know it's there because there'll be an aircraft taking off or landing. You're reminded it's there. Although I must say that it's my experience, and we live just off the east-west flight path. And that's the crosswind runway. I noticed an aircraft yesterday. In fact, it was the yellow aircraft that's associated with the forestry was making a landing in what was very interesting wind conditions.
That aircraft is actually the, and I'm pretty sure I know the one you're talking about. I was out there. That is a Pawnee that does the banner towing.
Right.
For the Geico banner that we see all over the place.
Okay, yeah. That's one it is.
Isn't yep. So he'd already dropped his banner,
right.
And was the winds are very can be very tricky, and so he made the call to be safe and recovered at another airport, which is the smart thing to do, you know. But it it's always changing out there, and
right.
the ability for us to. Again, provide a crosswind right away. We, even with the winds the way they are, depending on the aircraft type, mm-hmm. you know, in a Pawnee like that is a fairly light aircraft, fairly agile aircraft, and although quite maneuverable, quite susceptible to winds.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, the rest of the community, in terms of knowing about the, unless you notice a plane landing or taking off, the airport is kind of nicely placed along the river there. Obviously, if you have golfers out and about, they're aware of the open quality of the runway, et cetera. I'm curious, now that you have been full-time as airport manager for how long?
Since January 1st.
Okay,
this
so
year.
6 months. Mm-hmm. You had a chance to see some things. What is what further things have you discovered about the airport that perhaps had not been obvious when you first took over? Can you?
Well, there. I would say that the level of integration with the citizens, I should
okay.
say. You know, I notice more and more how much of an open airport we are, you know, and folks come out and enjoy just walking their dogs along the ramp and,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
the non-movement areas of the airport. I've noticed that it's a very friendly atmosphere out there. Any airport has noise issues, and
sure.
I collect the data and pass it on to the appropriate agency. But since being full time, I've noticed, you know, visually, those are the things that I see now. Now, workload wise, it's a challenge, and I love it. I love it. I really do. I love a challenge, and I love the airport, and I really do. See the airport going in a great direction, and I'm glad to be part of it.
Sure, and there's been quite a bit of discussion, and I know that when the master plan comes out, there'll be a better picture about it. But just when you point at this airport and its future, there have been a variety of ideas about it becoming much bigger or becoming something more than it is now in one way or another as the population or a variety of factors work. Population changes, we certainly see some growth in population, continued heavy use, as I understand, of the airports, whether it's at Lake Hood or Merrill Field or so on. That's a busy airspace in there. And we represent being not too far away, but maybe a little quieter in terms of airspace use.
And that's a very good point. The airspace that we operate in is called Class G. It is uncontrolled airspace, and mm-hmm. it is a lot of people call it government free. Not under like a radar control. It's not as busy. That's why it's Class G. It's not busy. Not nearly as busy as you mentioned, Merrill, Ted Stevens, Fairbanks, and those places. But been very busy lately, though. Very busy. And one of the great mitigating factors for risk that we have is our flight service station that's out there, because they do provide advisories. As opposed to a tower that directs and controls where the flow mm-hmm. of aircraft, the flight service station monitors and anyone that calls up that's in the airspace and wants advisories, they still monitor where the aircraft are in the traffic pattern, and it's a big safety risk mitigating factor to have them.
So as I'm thinking about the aircraft that I see, because I very often walk by that the airport itself, and I notice change with the seasons in part, forestry, obviously, with some larger aircraft, helicopter presence, a lot of light aircraft, and then bigger light aircraft, perhaps some faster low-wing single engine or twins, et cetera. Do you see any changing pattern in the kind of aircraft that are out there at the happening?
I see with the, what we've gone through in the master plan at this point, really very little change in the aircraft mix. It's still going to be the most of the operations are still going to be the general aviation that you're speaking of. Mm-hmm. With that being said, though, the you know, the purpose of a federally funded airport, one of the purposes is to be economically try to be economically viable for the city, and it's you know, running as a business, you know, the thing we try and do is increase our revenue, mm-hmm. and decrease cost.
Right.
So the I think it will be a probably within, and when you look at the planning cycle, 5, 10, out to 20 years, within the next 5 to 10 years, I wouldn't notice, just a layperson out there, well, you probably wouldn't notice much of a difference.
Okay.
Than where we're at right now.
For those listeners who are not familiar with the way the airport relates to the city, this is a enterprise fund, isn't
correct.
It? And mm-hmm. so, therefore, the goal is to have it be self-sustaining.
Absolutely. It runs runs just like a business, being an enterprise fund. And like you said, there's a lot of factors in how we increase our revenue, and that's leasing out spots for someone to build a hangar, tie down fees, fuel taxes, a lot of different sources.
So at the present time, is it self-sustaining?
No, it's not. It is last year, it ran about a $60,000 deficit. That's less depreciation. And the general fund from the city covers the operating expenses above that.
Okay.
So running in a deficit, but working very, very diligent.
What's the total budget for the airport?
About $370,000 a year.
Okay,
is what it comes out to. And a lot of the almost all of our construction is reliant on federal grant monies.
Okay,
and yes.
Well, so here are a couple of questions I came up with. One, I noticed in the paper today, Alaska Dispatch News, that there was an aircraft that was landing, I believe at Ted Stevens International Airport, and suffered what was referred to as a laser strike. And I said, okay, good thing that Jeff is coming in this morning. So let's talk about this. What is that?
If I go back on my military experience as a helicopter pilot and in the Middle East, a lot of this started in a lot of these reports started in New York City.
Okay.
With as technology gets more advanced, people that have nefarious intentions find easier ways to mess with an aircraft, basically in flight. And a laser, since it's light, it goes forever. I mean, mm-hmm. it doesn't stop.
Sure.
And the intensity and the power of the laser is becoming more and more handheld. And what's happening is as aircraft are taking off or landing, for whatever reason, people are taking it upon themselves to shine the laser at the cockpit. Mm-hmm. They have aiming devices that I've heard that they use. And in an attempt to kind of disrupt the aircraft operations. Mm. And, I don't know the exact numbers on it. I don't think it's the I think it's more of a, I don't want to say terrorist, but it's more of a ill will intention against it, not just, oh, you're a nuisance, get away.
Okay.
And it's from a pilot's aspect, it can be very devastating.
So what happens if someone uses a laser, hits the cockpit? Mm-hmm. What's the result?
It's just like a blinding light, looking into a light bulb.
Okay.
You lose your visual acuity for a short period of time,
mm-hmm.
and and those are the critical phases of flight too.
Sure.
Takeoff and departure. So those reports have luckily the pilots are very well trained, especially in the commercial area,
mm-hmm.
to kind of be looking out for these things.
Okay.
But they're happening more and more often that you hear around the country. I haven't had any reports from here at Palmer, so okay. Amen to that.
So, second question. I noticed a new entrepreneurial activity around about the airport, and that is planes that go up, and then people who fall out of them. Talk about that.
Yeah, so the defiance, the attempt to defy gravity once
right,
again.
Right.
No, they are they've been operating on our airport for about 3 years now. And they're the Alaska Skydive Club.
Okay.
During the summer they usually operate on Fridays and the weekends, and they spiral right up over the airport. And most of the people that are coming out for these jumps it's on their bucket list.
Right.
And they're going up to do a tandem jump with a very well-trained skydive instructor, which I've been very impressed with the operations side of the house, of their business. Now, a lot of airports would say, oh, skydivers, shy away. Mm-hmm. This does not mix.
Right.
Well, skydiving is like sailplanes. It's like a lot of other, it's like banner towing. It's mm-hmm. an aviation use. And, to have them actually there and work closely with myself and the FAA Flight Service Station is much better than having them 2 miles off the airport where nobody knows what's going on.
Right.
So and for every person, it's another economic boom. Mm-hmm. For every person that's out there on their bucket list, they bring three or four folks out and to see them try and defy gravity, and then they go out to our local establishments and kind of celebrate. Sure.
How about summarizing some of the guidelines? For example, is it year-round, certain times? What are the requirements for that organization to actually do this?
Quite a bit. They have, first of all, communication is key with anything in aviation. They are, the pilot that flies the aircraft that they jump out of, he's got his hands, their hands full. They're talking to approach. From Ted Stevens, because they're up at 10,000 foot above the airport. That's where mm-hmm. they jump from. So he's talking and making sure that all the aircraft in the area know that he gives a countdown, 5 minutes to jump, 3 minutes to jump, and so on. That's the kind of airspace part of it with the with other aircraft. Now, the part with the actual jumpers is they have radio communication headsets built in to their helmets, and they constantly communicate on the way down with each other.
Okay.
Especially all the instructors. So they, if you're going out for just your bucket list, you're with a well-experienced person, it's not much of an issue. They're still talking. But there's a substantial number that want to become skydivers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a progression like anything else. Once the master skydiver is determined after X amount of jumps that this person's ready for their solo jump, then they actually follow them down like in a chase parachute with a headset to the solo saying, do this, do that, and everything. So
okay.
It's very, very, very I'm very happy with the safety mitigation that they do out there. We've had very few incidents. There's cutaways. That's going to happen. A cutaway, if for your listeners is basically your main chute has become fouled, and you are using your reserve chute. And when you cut your main away, it just kind of flutters down to the ground.
Okay. So this is likely to happen through the summer, not into the winter?
Correct. It goes up last year and the year before, they went up to roughly October. They usually do it like a 1st of October, and depending on how the weather's getting like, because it's first of all, in October at 10,000 foot, you're jumping out, it's a little chilly.
Right. I can believe that.
And they usually start up around May. And so they, and then they're starting to become internationally known. Then you get folks from Europe and Asia that come because the scenery for them on that jump, you can just picture over top of the airport.
Wonder, yeah.
Incredible view of the glaciers and the mountains. It's just beautiful.
What a deal. Mm-hmm. Right. Are you aware of sky diving, jumping happening in other places around the borough in particular?
There are skydive operations I shouldn't say operations. They're more freelance. They're kind of, hey, we're going to go out and find a field and let somebody use our field, and we're going to jump into the field.
Okay.
So much more informal, much more uncontrolled. And again, with the aviation traffic that we have here in the valley, it is, I believe it's much, much more beneficial to have them where we can work with them on these risk mitigation. So,
well, let's come back down to ground. And one of the things that you mentioned earlier was that that it's possible to have people other than people with aircraft that are going to be going out pre-flight and flying. I'm aware that, for example, when approaching the airport on the road system, you can sort of drive right onto the airport.
Right at Evergreen and Airport.
Evergreen Airport. I've also noted, this is something that I've actually had a few people ask me about it, is that when people come off the airport, they actually have the right of way. and somehow that feels like there should be a four-way stop there.
Oddly enough, this was brought up maybe a week ago in the city, and we're discussing that exact. There was a traffic control plan, which that's part of the city that I'm part of it because it's in the airport. You know, how much traffic have you seen? Is it increased and everything?
Right.
So the bottom line is that they're looking into whether or not it needs to be a four-way stop there.
Right.
Personally, I mean, you've got the backing up of traffic, and it's getting very busy through that little – a lot of folks like to cut through Airport Road and Evergreen.
Exactly.
Get right into the city. And love to see it. People get better visibility at the airport. If I ever put up any advertisements on the fences or anything like that, I can
–
it's good for so with that being said – yes, you can drive, and especially folks that don't know the area, next thing they know, they're sitting in the middle of a taxiway, and of course that's not good. So yeah, the city is looking at that option.
Right. I there's been those apocryphal stories about people following their web maps and following it right onto a runway.
And,
so I'm saying. But other than that, it's just coming up. I spend a lot of time walking around these around the town, and I walk. That's one walkway that we do as well, and so I see a lot of. I spend a lot of time there approaching that intersection and noticing it, and it's just been curious to me because there are, and I'm not versed in all of the guidelines that DOT or others use for this. It just feels as if there's something about that that's not quite right, and I understand that, and have not witnessed any large number of accidents, et cetera. There, it's just that it's kind of a strange intersection.
I absolutely agree. I absolutely do, and now, of course, even with four-way stop sign, you're going to have folks that are going to stop and go straight through. And
been seeing it. Been seeing that.
But if there's a stop sign there, it gives them some time to think about where they're exactly they're at. everyone local here to the city kind of already knows that. But oh, the more in the summertime, especially with the more guests that we get to the city and the growth of the city.
Yeah, and the two factors that I think contribute to, you know, in a bright, beautiful summer day and it's light, people go along, that's one thing. Get conditions with darkness and perhaps the icing that we some perhaps may increasingly have. And someone unfamiliar with that area, it's easy to slide into it. And
literally, it is bad. It is a especially once you get out on the ramp there. If the ice conditions, because there, it's we don't use the chemical
right
solvent on the runways and or the aprons. So if you go out on there by accident and in the dark and in the snow, you may be sliding around quite a bit.
Okay. Well, Jeff Combs, we've had you here before, and you've come in for Inside the City. Is there any last comments to make before we finish up?
You know, it's actually a little bit off topic. The only thing I wanted to do was kind of put my prayers and thoughts out to the families of the Marines that were killed yesterday.
Yes.
In Tennessee. It me being a veteran, and I know every American, is a tragic thing. So my thoughts and prayers go out to their family and everyone affected by it.
Okay. Well said. Thank you, Jeff Combs.
Thank you.